Well, yesterday was a clinic from local law enforcement on how to showcase yourself, how to explain yourself, and how to be transparent with the public on decisions that you are ultimately making. That is what I saw yesterday when I watched Johnson County DA Steve Howe give this press conference and talk to the media about what exactly he was going to do or not do, I should say, regarding the death of a 27-year-old man on New Year's Eve. You may recall this story from a few months back. But 27-year-old Brandon Lynch, who had a long history of mental illness, notably schizophrenia, was having an episode on New Year's Eve. Cops in Olathe had been to his home multiple times, according to some reports, up to 20 times in a single year. So this is a young man dealing with a severe mental illness, and the family would oftentimes have to call law enforcement, and law enforcement, for the most part, knew how to help this young man out. Well, on New Year's Eve, they didn't know how to help him. They didn't. And 27-year-old Brandon Lynch was ultimately killed by law enforcement on New Year's Eve. And it's terrible. It's tragic. The mother has claimed and did claim at the time that the state killed my son. And you feel for everybody involved. I mean, law enforcement, obviously, they don't want to go to somebody's house and shoot a schizophrenic man. The family, clearly, incredible empathy for what they have gone through and what they have dealt with, not just dealing with their son's disease, but then obviously resulting in him getting shot and killed by police. Nobody wins here. I don't think that you can sit there and simply take one side over the other. You can just have empathy and realize that this is an absolute tragedy. But yesterday it came out from Johnson County DA Steve Howe that they will not charge the officer that shot and killed 27-year-old Brandon Lynch of Olathe on New Year's Eve. Steve Howe announced that he determined deadly force was justified after Lynch approached officers with a knife inside of his home. Here is part of what the Johnson County DA had to say yesterday.
That a butterfly knife, as well as a taser that was then removed. The taser was on an on position, and both the knife and the taser, they not only seized it, but did a DNA test, and there was DNA Brandon Lynch on both of those weapons.
So that was Johnson County DA Steve Howe yesterday, who also, during this press conference that he put together, displayed a portion of the body camera footage from that night. He provided a diagram showing the size of the room where the shooting took place and Brandon Lynch's proximity to the officers. And officers can be heard multiple times in that body camera footage. And by the way, there's a link to all this stuff on my Facebook page, Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio. You can see it there. You can hear the officers on the body camera footage asking Lynch to put down both a stun gun and that knife that he was holding. The video shows Lynch walking towards the officers throughout the house before eventually police open fire near the home's entrance. You can see the police in the body camera footage. They're backtracking. They're backtracking throughout the entire home. And by the way, officers had used a taser on Lynch, and it had absolutely no effect when he began advancing towards officers. So this is exactly how you would want your DA to handle something like this. This is how you get the trust in law enforcement at the local level when you have a DA like Steve Howe, who, by the way, will be on the show at 8 o'clock today. This is how you get local trust in law enforcement when the DA is on the side of the rule of law. It doesn't mean you make excuses for law enforcement, but he's on the side of the rule of law. They deserve the benefit of the doubt in nearly every case. And then when you have the body camera footage, the DNA, the facts to back up your case, you share that with the public. That's what you do. I mean, Steve Howe could teach Gene Peters Baker a lesson or two in Jackson County, Missouri, on how this is supposed to be done. And there were some other very important points made during this press conference yesterday. The chief of police in Olathe also talked to the media. And he said here, quote, when the officers arrived at the scene, it took 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, he says, for all this to evolve. Because people are saying, hey, why wasn't a health professional on the scene during the incident? It's 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve. This unfolds in 3 minutes. I know if you watch TV shows and movies, you think that magically people just appear. But we're talking New Year's Eve, 11 p.m. This happens in less than 3 minutes. That's why that whole phony, you know, during the defund the police movement. All right, we got cops and we got, you know, mental health professionals and everyone's going to sing kumbaya and life's going to be great. Less than 3 minutes it took for everything to evolve where 27-year-old Brandon Lynch Nalatha ends up getting shot on New Year's Eve. Yes, in a perfect world, there would be a health professional on every street corner waiting for something like this to happen. But that's not the real world. And then the DA, Steve Howe, made another important point during this press conference. And I think this one is arguably the most important point. He said here yesterday, law enforcement officers do not have to be assaulted, stabbed, or shot under the laws of the state of Kansas. They have a right to defend themselves and defend others. And that's what happened in this case. There's this notion, you know, shoot him in the ankle or, well, what did they really do with that knife? Or that stun gun that they were coming after you with. It's very easy to sit there and say that in hindsight, right? Because none of us want anybody to really die, you know, especially not in a situation like this where you've got a 27-year-old schizophrenic man having an episode in his own house on New Year's Eve. I mean, it's horrible. It's tragic, right? Nobody wants that. But one thing that I'll never forget, you know, former KCPD Chief Rick Smith brought me up to the academy. Oh, geez, must have been 2 years ago now, to just go through some basic training of what they deal with and what they do. And I was in, I guess, what you would call a trial where I'm standing there with a fellow cop in a dark room and we're going through scenarios. We're going through different scenarios. There's like a big drop down projector screen. And, you know, we're dealing with people who have knives, who have guns, who are threatening other people. How do we react? What do we do? And the thing that you really don't realize is somebody with a knife who's 20 feet away can close that gap in about, what, 2.5 seconds. I mean, you are literally talking seconds that you have to make a split-second decision to potentially save your life and those of the people around you. This is not sit there and think about it and have a cup of coffee. You got to decide, and you got to decide fast. And when Steve Howe makes that point yesterday that law enforcement officers do not have to be assaulted, stabbed, or shot to defend themselves and those around them, I think that's an important point for everybody who wants to talk about law enforcement, whether it's in Kansas City or anywhere around the region or around the country. We have this belief of, oh, yeah, well, you shot the guy. Did he shoot you? It's like, we don't have to get shot first to defend ourselves and those around us. That doesn't take away from the tragedy of what took place here. I mean, many of us, myself included, have dealt with people in our lives who suffer from severe mental illness and have dealt with law enforcement in and around our homes. Because of that mental illness, I have and many of you have. So you can have great sympathy and empathy for the family, but then also say, hey, how law enforcement handled this Brandon Lynch situation in Olathe on New Year's Eve is case in point on how you want your DA to work with your law enforcement to be transparent with the people of that community. And that's exactly what you had happen here. 913-408-7710. As I noted, Steve Howe is going to be on the show this morning at 8 o'clock, so don't miss that coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. Speaking of things that we can learn from, a teen was charged in Platte County yesterday with a school shooting threat. Now, I say that this is good news, but what I mean by that is that potentially something catastrophic could have happened, but enough people spoke up before it took place, and there's something to be taught there and learned there, and we'll talk about it coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. So we got these two stories to start it off on a Thursday morning. It is good to be here on KCMO. both involving law enforcement to some degree. You have the body cam released by the Johnson County DA, Steve Howe, regarding this 27-year-old schizophrenic man, Brandon Lynch, who was shot and killed by police in Olathe on New Year's Eve. And we just found out yesterday that Steve Howe is not going to press charges in this case. That is what came down yesterday with that story. And then also you have this story up in Black County with a potential school shooter. And thank goodness people spoke up about that. So I'll get you the details on that coming up here on KCMO. Dave is in Overland Park. Dave, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know, a lot of times we hear about someone going down the street and they just start shooting people or stabbing people and they say, well, I heard voices in my head and they did it. That's their defense. They are schizophrenic. And while they don't ask to be schizophrenic, they can do a lot of harm to people. And this has happened before. And he had a taser. What is a schizophrenic person doing with a taser? Evidently, his family was very, very afraid. But what people don't realize is a lot of people who are schizophrenic, they do commit horrific crimes on other people, very violent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand why the police officers would have to do something to defend themselves. And I'm glad that this man who was schizophrenic was not out on the street or in a shopping mall doing this. At least it was contained to his home.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a sad thing.
It is. It's sad. I mean, you know, the whole thing is sad. There's no doubt about it. But you are right to bring up that point that, you know, these people can obviously be very dangerous in certain situations. I mean, that's a fact, and we've seen that, unfortunately, on too many occasions.
Wanted to help out here on details. I think Dan thought that the guy had a taser. He was tased because he had a knife.
He also had a taser. That Steve Howe referenced.
I didn't read that part. Okay.
Yeah, he had a taser, and then he also had a knife, and that's what Steve Howe had mentioned. His fingerprints were on both this taser and this knife.
Okay.
Which is what he had mentioned. But yeah, no, he was tased as well, John.
Right.
So Brandon Lynch had a taser type thing in his hand and a knife, and then cops tased him. It did absolutely nothing. And then obviously, unfortunately, it went to the next level where he ended up getting shot. So it's terrible. But Dave's right to bring up that point where you say law enforcement has done everything in their power. Obviously, they got a call from a family member. The sister called the cops because he was having one of these schizophrenic episodes. Couldn't do anything about it. They had been to this house on multiple occasions. And then it turns out that the thing escalates. And it escalates and it ends up in an absolute tragedy. And, you know, Dave's right to point out that, unfortunately, whether it's other violent crime situations, whether it's here in Kansas City or elsewhere, oftentimes, you know, these individuals do have mental health issues. And that is a part of this that unfortunately gets under-discussed because people want to scream about guns and cops and things like that. So up in Platte County, 18-year-old was charged with making a terrorist threat in Platte County. Two people contacted Platte City Police last week to report Joshua Clark threatened to shoot up Platte County High School. One of the teenagers told officers that Clark asked her, "What if I would have done it?" The witnesses told investigators it was a school shooting. The witnesses also said that Clark said, "Tomorrow's the day," end quote, and spoke about setting a new record, referencing the Virginia Tech school shooting and the number 33, which is how many people were killed in that school shooting at Virginia Tech. Clark was interviewed by investigators earlier this week. He said he did speak to the witnesses, but denied threatening a shooting at the school, according to a probable cause statement. Platte County School District said it found out about the potential threat last week. The district said there have been additional officers and security in place around school buildings. So this will not get a lot of attention, I don't believe. But what I would love to hear, and what I think should be done here, is that the school, the witnesses, local law enforcement, they should be going around the Kansas City region and talking about how, and who knows what actually would have happened. God willing, nothing would have happened, and it was just a kid being an absolute jack wagon. But I think they should be going around and saying, hey, we potentially stopped something tragic from happening, And here's who spoke up. Here's what people heard. Here's who they reached out to. And here's how you could possibly do the same thing if, God forbid, you hear somebody saying things like this. I mean, we all have these cliches like, if you hear something, say something, right? Or, you know, there's a place where you can give tips at the Safe Schools Alert System. There are ways to do that in local communities around Kansas City. But this story will probably get 30 seconds on local TV news, if that, this morning and tonight. But to me, it's one of those things that everybody can learn something from. You had witnesses who heard this 18-year-old kid talking about a school shooting, and they reported it. Who do you report it to? Here's why you shouldn't be afraid to report these things and reach out to people about these things. And even if somebody says it in a joking way, that cannot stand. You can't have people saying these things. So all that stuff, to me, is important as well when you talk about not just the reaction to, God forbid, something tragic happening in a school, but when you get a story like this, how do you make it a lesson for thousands of kids, whether it's in the Kansas City area or anywhere else for that matter? What was your protocol? How did people go about that protocol? And how many lives did they potentially save? We don't know, but I still find it incredibly valuable information. And that's why I at least wanted to mention this morning as we got it going on a Thursday morning, because this is something to me up in Black County that a lot of people may ultimately be able to learn something from. On a lighter note, since it's been a heavy half hour to start off the show here on KCMO, we got the World Cup logo was unveiled for Kansas City, and the two most dislikable people in the world made themselves more dislikable yesterday. That's next. Please tell me there's something more. Please tell me this isn't it. Please, please, please. So 11 o'clock today, we found out a couple of days ago, Laura Kelly, Mike Parson, Quinton Lucas, Clark Hunt, they're all going to be doing a big press conference today at about 11 o'clock. That'll air. We'll play clips or parts of that on the Chris DeGaulle Show, depending on how interesting it is. Well, we did get a little taste of what is likely to be part of today's press conference, and that is that FIFA has unveiled unique localized tournament branding for each host city for the 2026 World Cup, of which Kansas City is one. And the logo, and Mark, you can put that up on the KCMO Talk Radio Facebook and Twitter page, but the logo is kind of a playoff of the City of Fountains, and it says, "We are Kansas City." What do you think, John?
I was looking for something a little snappier, yes, a little more pizzazz.
I agree.
I know that it's supposed to be a fountain. I might perceive that to be a tornado. The colors vermilion and indigo don't exactly set me off either there.
I agree.
Yeah, so it needs a little white border, but then I'm the old guy, I guess.
No, you're not the, I mean, you're still the old guy. You're still the old guy. But I'll just tell you, I think that your opinion will reach many age groups.
I managed to get through school and take every art class in high school to avoid as much mathematics and science. So I do have some information and a kind of an eye for things,
yes,
like that.
Well, you're an artsy guy in many ways.
It looks like, okay, more.
You know? Yeah. Did you guys, like, did somebody stop in the middle of the graphic or what happened here?
Well, the "we are" and then Kansas City is a different font.
Yes. And I can't even
and
read
the
"we are."
Maybe "we are" then Chicago. That'll look like that in Chicago. Maybe that's kind of a, I don't know.
You're right. The "we are" and the Kansas City are different fonts, and you can't even read the "we are." It just looks
right. You
kind of have
to know, right? Yeah. So it doesn't quite match up with any kind of mod look or anything.
Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
The bubble letters along with the 26 with the bubble letters looked not very good.
No. This. I hope this is not a harbinger of things to come with this World Cup. And we know FIFA's as corrupt as they come, and we've been promised a lot of, oh boy, utopia when the World Cup comes to Kansas City. I hope this rollout of this just ugly butt logo.
I'm noticing the point size is even smaller, I guess, to fit Kansas City within the art space margin there, right?
Yeah. It's just, oof, boy. Well,
I'm not
hope
going out to buy a hat or a t-shirt with that on that or
anything. Are you, Mark, as the guy who wears, you know, 27 different hats? Mark's got a different hat for every day of the month. So would you go buy this hat?
Not today.
Not today.
Maybe closer to 2026 when I get excited.
Yeah, you're going to get caught up in the Mark's going to get caught up in the hoopla of this whole thing.
Definitely.
He's going to be betting, you know, Argentina and South Africa and do, you know, get parlays with Japan and
Netherlands,
you know,
is my big team.
That's your
Dutch.
Oh gosh! All right, good for you. He's got ready working on some parlays for 2026. It's not a good look. Not a good logo.
That logo morphed into some type of 3D hologram or something. Yeah. Maybe cool. Maybe it does. I don't know. Right there, it looks. I don't know.
Not a fan. Not a fan at all. And I hope they got something better lined up for today's press conference. Then here's our pretty logo. Ugh. We don't need Laura Kelly and Mike Parson for that. By the way. Have like, it's like the NFL draft. Have some kids show up and like, here's the logo today. Kid from Children's Mercy or something. We don't need the governors to show up for this big announcement. Please spare us that. Oh my goodness. Well, it's 3 years away, but at least we got a logo and the logo blows. So maybe that'll get better over time. Ooh, boy. Also on a lighter note, I don't know if you saw this story, but the two most dislikable people, I would say not just in the country, but possibly in the world. Do you think that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are the two most dislikable? Like, if you were to go around the world and rank the most dislikable people, they're probably at the top of the list. I mean, I'm not counting people like Vladimir Putin. All right. I'm just talking like celebrity wise. I'm not talking actually evil individuals.
Right. Okay. You got to have a division here,
yes,
I think, right?
Yes. If, yes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like Xi in China and Putin, like, yeah, they're bad guys. No doubt about it. All right. Or some would say
bad hombres.
They're bad hombres. But in terms of celebrities that are universally disliked, I've got to believe that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are at the top of that list. I mean, they love to be the victims, despite the fact that they are, especially Prince Harry. I mean, the guy literally was born into the royal family, and somehow we're all supposed to feel bad for him. So anyway, this story, as the story goes, according to a rep for these two, the Duke and the Duchess of Sussex were involved in a near catastrophic car chase at the hands of a highly aggressive paparazzi in New York City. This relentless pursuit lasted over 2 hours, resulted in multiple near collisions involving other drivers on the road, pedestrians, and two NYPD officers. While being a public figure, in their statement they write, comes with a level of interest from the public, it should never come at the cost of anyone's safety. Okay, let me remind you of what they just claimed. They claimed that they were on a two-hour car chase in New York City that was relentless and aggressive. Now, I know a portion of this audience has been to New York City. I know John has been. Obviously, I spend some time there. Ask yourself if that makes sense. A two-hour, highly aggressive car chase in New York City, John. You've been on the streets here in the last few years in New York City. Does that make sense to you?
I want to turn this into a Monty Python skit. Well, we did stop and pay the tolls, though.
Right. That's right.
I mean, maybe there's a strip where you could go back and forth for a couple hours, but at some point you're paying a toll. Or
at some point, you either hit enormous traffic, a river, a toll.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It is, and the New York City mayor, Eric Adams, said this.
I would find it hard to believe that there was a two-hour high-speed chase. That would be, I find it hard to believe.
Well, that's the mayor of New York City being much nicer than he should be. These two are just so pathetic. And so, and obviously, you know, there's the whole tie-in to how Princess Diana died in a high-speed car chase involving paparazzi. Right? Like, if there's anybody who should not be exaggerating high-speed car chases involving paparazzi, it's Harry and Meghan Markle. But notice what I did there. Harry and Meghan Markle. He's basically Harry Markle at this point. We should start calling him that. Harry and Meghan Markle, they're of anybody on this planet who should not be exaggerating high-speed car chases, it's them, John. It's embarrassing.
I know why my mind the other day when I saw the story go, What's up with Sparkle here? Yeah. Sparkle Markle.
Sparkle Markle. So, thank goodness, you know, you've got some common sense folks in law enforcement and the mayor of New York City saying, yeah, I'm just not buying this. I'm just not going to say that this actually happened the way you said it happened. And the NYPD also said the incident was under investigation. But I just had to get this off my chest because I can't stand these two people. And this is just another reason for it.
Megyn Kelly had commented on this saying, yeah, what is near catastrophic when you get in your car and you reach to change the radio station? It could end in a catastrophe.
Good
looking
point.
At your phone while you're driving.
Yes. Good
so,
point.
Yeah, she was kind of ridiculing it.
Yes.
As well.
Good for her for noting that as well. I'm glad you need more people like Megyn Kelly. We can sit here and do it all day on KCMO. But you know what? Get the people like Megyn Kelly to say, this is ridiculous. Also, according to a high-ranking official, talked to the New York Post, no collision reports or 911 calls. And the chase definitely was not.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft. Presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Not 2 hours. But when your business, and this is what the business of Harry and Meghan Markle is right now. When your business is woe is us, look at us, we're victims, we're not liked by our own royal family. You know, you got to milk that for all it's worth. And this is where their 15 minutes is probably over because they've rolled their own family under the bus, right? That's been their business model the last couple of years. But once you've rolled your own family under the bus and the family is the only reason you're famous to begin with, suddenly you have no more need in the eyes of the public. So you've got to start grasping at straws for garbage like this to try to keep yourself relevant. They are just absolute embarrassments. Harry Markle and Meghan Markle. What a couple of jokesters.
I like that.
Harry Markle. It's got a nice ring to it, too. So we're going to keep that. Anytime they come up on the show, and I promise it won't be that much. It's Harry Markle and Meghan Markle. There you go. Quentin Lucas will be here at 7:35 in his usual Thursday slot here on KCMO Talk Radio. The Kansas City, Missouri Police Department is joining forces with other organizations to fight crime. We'll tell you what they're doing. I'm behind the cause, but when I'm reading this story yesterday, something just made me burst out and start laughing. And I'll tell you what that was on this one coming up next. First off, somebody's got to answer me this. Is it coyotes or coyotes? Or is it both? I need an answer on that before we go any further. What do you say?
I think it's coyotes, but depending on where you're from around town, it could be coyotes.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Because I'm watching the news last night, and John Holt's calling them the Arizona Coyotes, and then the reporter's calling them the Coyotes.
It's coyotes, but we all got conditioned with the Roadrunner cartoon of Wile E. Coyote.
Okay.
So all that's right. The explanation.
I'm a coyote
who
guy.
Gives a...
I'm a coyote guy for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But I keep hearing, you know, news people saying the Arizona Coyotes. I'm like, what does the team call themselves? Do they, like... When they announce, all right, let's welcome onto the ice the Arizona bleep. What do they say? Coyotes? Coyotes? I'm just curious because I don't know the answer because I don't follow hockey.
I've never been to one of their games, so I don't know either.
Well, maybe you can get a hat, Mark, and when you get a hat, you can call them up and ask them, you know, what they call themselves.
All right, we'll call the front office and see how they answer.
Yeah, get the GM on the line, would you please? They're looking for somewhere to go anyway. So I bring this up because the Arizona Coyotes... the taxpayers in Arizona rejected a new stadium the other night. This happened on Tuesday night. So yesterday, you had Quentin Lucas, the mayor, basically giving a shout-out to Gary Bettman, as Joe Biden would call him, Gary Batman, and basically saying, hey, you know, if you're going to be leaving Arizona, which seems like a foregone conclusion now for the NHL team, Why not look at Kansas City? The mayor tweeted out yesterday, "Good morning, Kansas City surrounds," and Gary Bettman, who's the NHL commissioner. Well, now Patrick Mahomes also had something to say about this yesterday. Mahomes tweeted out last night at about 6:30, "KC Coyotes has a nice ring to it. NHL, what do y'all think?" And then he tagged the T-Mobile Center. So you got Patrick Mahomes, and no offense to the mayor, but Patrick Mahomes talking about this is quite a big deal, obviously. A little bit of a bigger deal than the mayor talking about it. Although, with Quentin Lucas coming on at the bottom of the hour, I will be asking him, in part, about whether or not the city will be doing anything to try to entice the Arizona Coyotes to come play in Kansas City. It is believed right now that the front runner is Houston. Houston does not have an NHL team. It's obviously a top five market in this town. So that gives them a little bit of a leg up, right? That gives them a bit of a leg up. Just being a larger metro, not having an NHL team. They have the NBA. They have the NFL. So they've got Major League Baseball. The one of the major sports they don't have down there in Houston is hockey. So that makes some sense. I get it. You know, you just have a larger group of people to pull from for season tickets, for sponsorships. They've already got the arena lined up for the Houston Rockets, so they could probably work something out down there. But Kansas City could be a wild card in all this. Now, what I don't want to see the city do, or the city promise, or the city even contemplate, is giving away $1 billion or more in taxpayer monies to entice an NHL team here. That doesn't make any sense. They already have the Royals sitting out there saying, "Hey, can we get $1 billion? We got this, you know, entertainment district we want to build with a ballpark and office space and restaurants and, you know, the whole thing. It's a $2 billion project. We'll finance the non-baseball part for $1 billion, but we're going to need help with the other $1 billion. And that's, I would say, that's 50-50 right now. So if you think the taxpayer of Kansas City or the taxpayer of Jackson County is sitting out there and saying, "You know what we need? You know what this town is missing? We've already got the Royals who want to move downtown. We're definitely in need of an NHL team." And as much as you love Patrick Mahomes, I sit there and I say to myself, Patrick Mahomes alone, not getting this deal done. Like, the Arizona Coyotes are not coming to Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes put out a tweet. I love that he's throwing Kansas City into the mix. I mean, I think it's great for this town that it's part of the conversation, but it just seems like a complete long shot right now. Now, the most recent attempt that Kansas City made for an NHL or NBA team came with the Toronto Raptors. This was during the pandemic. Remember this? During the pandemic, the Raptors were not allowed to play home games in Canada during the peak of the pandemic. Gosh, I forgot how stupid everything was. I really did. So peak pandemic, the Raptors could not play any home games. And Kansas City made a bid to try to get the Raptors to come here and play some games at T-Mobile. It did not work out. It did not happen, but there was a push for it. So there's been this promise. And for those of you who have been in town for, you know, at least 20 years, you know this very well. T-Mobile was built. And the idea was, hey, NHL, NBA team going to be enticed to come here. Of course, that has not happened, but I don't consider T-Mobile a bust. I consider it to be a massive success because of the amount of concerts that we ultimately get in that building, which I think, you know.
Yeah, it's a busy arena.
It's a busy arena.
We had a couple of dates with the Pittsburgh Penguins, I think, at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, early in the deal, Pittsburgh won a new place and kind of said, "Hi, Kansas City, how you doing?"
Oh, it's kind of like they used them as leverage.
Oh, yeah.
We got used. We got played.
We like getting used, though. It was good to be talked about.
Right? I suppose. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you get suckered into taking the girl
on
a date.
Well, that's what's going on here as I look at the thing. Locally, they're surprised the ordinance that the measure didn't pass in Tempe.
Yeah.
And the Coyotes, as everybody refers to them on these local newscasts down there, are everybody's going, "Well, I hope they had a plan B," because, you know. So basically, in their mind, the team's not going anywhere. They're just staying where they're at. And they want something different. So
yeah.
Well, it's status quo down there in their minds.
They're playing, as I understand it, in like a college. They're playing in the Arizona State Arena.
They must have moved around, according to the little story I was listening to for a few seconds. I wasn't aware of that.
Hey, that's pretty embarrassing.
When they were Phoenix Coyotes, they played in a different building.
Yes, they played in downtown Phoenix, and so now they're playing in Tempe.
And they were talking about a new Tempe, right?
Yes.
And then maybe Mesa was trying to put something together, but they were talking how long these plans take to put together and that they hoped the Coyotes had a plan B since this fell through, even though people didn't expect it to fall through.
Well, you know what? That's why they're now looking at, apparently, Quebec, Houston, and Kansas City. That's the top three that are getting attention right now.
Yeah, I think that's wishful thinking on people's parts, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the internal politics in Arizona, I can't speak to that.
It just looks like they're just kind of disappointed and going, okay, what's next?
Yeah, where are we going? Screw you guys, we're out of here.
I found the American pronunciation if you want to hear it.
All right, fine.
Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, there we go.
All right, Coyotes, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
All right, so not the Coyotes. That's fine by me. I know that some of you like to say Coyotes, but I'll take Coyotes.
Well, the team's Coyotes. One singular player.
Okay.
Would be.
Yeah.
Welcome on the air this morning, right winger Coyote.
Yes, the right winger Coyote. I'll tell you what, if we ever do get an NHL team, you will not be getting a lot of NHL talk here. I promise you that much. As a big sports fan, it'll rank right behind the soccer talk on this show. They'll be neck and neck. They'll each get about 7.5 minutes a year, and even that's being generous. Very generous.
Thursday night's a holiday in Canada, Pete.
Oh gosh. Oh no. Please. Don't get me started on the hockey jokes. I don't want to offend any Blues fans in the audience who might have ventured over this way. Please don't do it. Text line is 913-408-7710. Pete, Houston won't happen. The ice would melt in that region. You know, climate change. Yeah, that's right. Very good point. Very well said there on the text line. Also on the text line, Pete, Kansas City can't support an NHL team. They could not fill the Sprint Center. I don't know. Could a town this size support three pro sports teams? Probably a long shot. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Probably a long shot. But, you know, it's a massive sports town. I don't think it's impossible. And if the team's good, you're going to get support. It's really not about when your team is good. It's about when your team is bad, do you still have the corporate sponsors and the season ticket holders? That's what matters. Coming up on KCMO, the mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, bottom of the hour. We'll ask him about this Arizona Coyote drama and whether or not he thinks Kansas City is actually a viable alternative. But next, some major shakeups apparently coming in the cable news world we'll dive into on KCMO. It really is amazing how little cable news talent there appears to be out there. You think about the heyday of it, whether it was Bill O'Reilly, right, on Fox News, whether it was Larry King doing his show on CNN. These were titans of TV. And now you sit in this, I know, fragmented media world where you can pull up your phone and go on YouTube and find whatever content you want in the span of seconds. And there's good and there's bad of that. But it is stunning to me that still these cable news networks apparently don't have a stable of people lined up, are not prepared with a bench, and they're grasping at straws. And this is, by the way, across the ideological spectrum. So, interestingly, two stories break yesterday on this front that I know a lot of people in this audience are going to be intrigued by. The first one, CNN announces that Caitlin Collins will take over its 9 p.m. Eastern slot. They had not had a permanent host there since Chris Cuomo, Fredo, got booted from CNN over a year ago now. So, Caitlin Collins is 31 years old. She's the one who did the Trump town hall a couple of weeks ago. And everyone was kind of ragging on Caitlin Collins. To be fair to Caitlin Collins, that's a no-win situation for her. Now, I didn't think she did a great job, but once again, you are going into the lion's den with Trump. You're putting her in an impossible spot. She tried to be kind of the tough anchor person against Donald Trump, and Trump just feeds off of that, right? Trump wants that because then he calls her a nasty person, the audience goes wild, and, you know, Trump gets what he wants. Now, I don't fault CNN for doing that town hall. I think it makes all the sense in the world. They got 3+ million viewers. That's 6 times what they normally get on a given night. So it was a great win for them. It was a great win for Trump. It was not a great win for Caitlin Collins, but it did get her exposure, and it conveniently leaked the morning of that town hall that she was going to get the 9 p.m. Eastern time slot on CNN. That's not an accident, right? It was a chance for people to tune in and say, oh, this is going to be one of the new faces in CNN's primetime lineup. Now, we know CNN is struggling mightily. They got beat by Newsmax in the ratings in the last week. Now, when you're getting beat by Newsmax, no offense to Newsmax, that's not a good sign. That's how far CNN has fallen. So Caitlin Collins gets the publicity because she does the CNN town hall with Trump. She gets 3 million eyeballs on her and on that town hall. But do I think that it's going to be compelling must-watch television with Caitlin Collins, who most recently was doing the morning show with Don Lemon over there? No, I don't. And I'm sitting here and thinking to myself, of all the people out there in media who CNN could possibly pick from, it's harder for Fox because the ideological bend lends to less people in media who would be interested in that role. But you're CNN. I mean, everybody in media, unless you're already on MSNBC, would have interest in that job. And I'm all about internal promotions when you can give them, but there's nothing that I saw in that town hall, as much as I'm sympathetic to Caitlin Collins, that would lead me to believe that she could anchor an hour-long show solo with strong opinions, thoughtful opinions, have something to say, interview guests without it just being cookie cutter and bland. I'm not seeing that unless their approach is, hey, we think that she is very bright, very sharp, talented, funny, witty, can be off the cuff, can do all those things, but it's going to take her time to grow. Maybe that's what they see internally, but I don't see that working for them. Now, the other part of this is Fox News. Reports leaked yesterday that Fox News, and Fox is denying this for what it's worth, but Fox is going to basically move Hannity into Tucker Carlson's old slot. To which I say, wow, that's underwhelming. And then they're going to shake up the primetime lineup and possibly put Jesse Watters into the old Hannity slot, move up Greg Gutfeld from, I guess, 10 Central to 9 Central. I don't know where that leaves Laura Ingraham. I have no idea. But that's what's being reported right now. By Matt Drudge. Now, Matt Drudge has kind of lost his marbles here the last couple of years, but anyway, worth watching. Fox is denying this, but it's also amazing that Fox, who's burnt through a bunch of different hosts since Tucker Carlson was let go a few weeks back, none of them have really taken off. I mean, Lawrence Jones, Kayleigh McEnany, who was great here in town, but once again, that is a tough spot to put somebody in. Which is why I have advocated, but hey, what do I know? I'm just a guy with a microphone. I think they've got to do a two-person show. You can't replace Tucker with just a single person and ask them to fill that chair. Whatever you think of Tucker Carlson, he was incredibly engaging, smart. The guy was doing 20-minute monologues, for crying out loud. You can't just take, hey, you're conservative, you look good on TV, you fill in for Tucker and, you know, good luck. I would go with a two-person show. Because there is not one person to take over for someone like Tucker Carlson. Tucker could swing it replacing Bill O'Reilly because he already had a big brand and his own show and the whole thing. I don't see how they do it at Fox. And moving Hannity into that spot, that tells me you're desperate. You know, if this was 2008, I'd say, okay, Hannity makes sense. In 2023, if I'm trying to go to bed at 8 p.m., I guess Hannity might work, but that's about it. Jeez. So the lack of talent to me is pretty stunning right now. Can we get this sponsored? Can we get a segment updating you every week on the Bud Light sales sponsored, maybe by like Yingling or Boulevard or Casey Bierko or somebody? I mean, this is just a perfectly sponsored segment we can do every Thursday because these numbers come out Thursday, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning for the week and a half prior. And now it's like the Bud Light Sales Watch brought to you by Boulevard. Go buy yourself a real dealer, like a space camper. I don't know, something like that. But here are the numbers for Bud Light sales. This is for the week ending May 6th. It's always about a week and a half behind. Retail sales are down 23.6% for the week. My goodness, let's go.
Woo!
Year over year. That's horrible. Now, this is continuing the trend. In April, Bud Light went from down like 10, as the Dylan Mulvaney and the whole boycott thing started, it was down 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%. It is still down well over 20% for the first week of May, year over year. So this is not going away. This is not ending. Now, do I think it's going to last forever? Do I think we'll be sitting here in 2043 with Bud Light sales still down 20%? Probably not. I would not anticipate that. But the marketplace has clearly spoken. The consumers of Bud Light have clearly sent a message to the company Anheuser-Busch and saying, hey, you guys screwed this one up in a big way. And by the way, it's impacting other brands. Budweiser down 10%. Michelob Ultra down 3%. Even Natty Light is off 2.5%. Jeez. When the people who are buying Natty Light, and if you're buying Natty Light, you know, falling on tough times, I suppose. When you're in the market for a Natty Light, and even you're like, you know, I'll pass. I'll go to Keystone or something. That is telling. That is very telling. And there's no end in sight to any of this. By the way, Pabst Blue Ribbon, PBR is up 22%. Miller High Life up 11%. They are still getting smoked. And the longer this goes, the more that Bud Light becomes the butt of various jokes. You know, you're sitting around the campfire, sitting around a fire pit with the guys, and, you know, one of the guys is on the verge of tears because his girlfriend dumped him. All right, that's enough there, Johnny. You want a Bud Light with those tears? Jeez. I mean, those jokes aren't going anywhere. They're only going to be ramped up, right? So once you become the butt of a joke on top of people boycotting you, that's when you know you've got yourself some trouble. Now, what happens? I'll be intrigued, like, what happens during the NFL season. Here in Kansas City, Arrowhead, it's all Bud Light products, right? I think it's... Now they got the Bud Light seltzers, they got the Bud Lights. I don't know. I'm trying to think. As someone who's, you know, bought a beer or two or more at Arrowhead, I'm trying to think about, you know, the non-Anheuser-Busch products they have. I believe they have a handful of options. Like, I can't wait when I'm at a Chiefs game this fall. I'm going to take a picture of the fridge. And if the Bud Light fridge is totally packed and there's a non-Anheuser-Busch product that is on the verge of selling out, I guarantee you that's going to go viral. I'm already ready for that viral picture coming up this fall. But I think it'll last in the football season to some degree. And then there was this. This, speaking of viral Bud Light pictures, a photo posted to social media shows stacks of 24 cases of Bud Light with a promo taped to them touting a full rebate. A full rebate on a 24 case of Bud Light. Oh, my goodness. It's a picture of a Bud Light, and I'll put it up on Twitter, at Pete Mundo. You can see it there. It says 24 cans Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Get $20 back via rebate. They're literally giving it away. It's basically a free case of Bud Light. That's how desperate they are to unload this stuff. Last week I was in a liquor store and I was buying a certain type of champagne for Mother's Day. And I just asked the guy, I said, hey, how are your Bud Light sales? And he kind of rolls his eyes at me, John, and he goes, well... Boy, he's like, well, we're still selling it, but let's just put it this way. He goes, I'm not ordering quite as much. And that was right here in Johnson County.
Like OPEC and a barrel of Bud. What's that going to cost you? There was that one time when a barrel of oil was way down to what? Almost nothing?
Yes.
For a brief period of time.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're in that territory.
We are in that territory. I mean, and by the way, the
buy one, get two free.
Buy one, get two free. The 24-pack, it says here, is listed at $19.98, and you can get $20 back. They'll pay you 2 cents to buy a 24-pack of Bud Light. That's when you know it's bad. That's when you know you got some problems right now in the free market. We'll just see if they learn their lesson or not. Unbelievable. Coming up on KCMO, and I'll put that photo. You'll see it on Twitter here momentarily, at Pete Mundo. $20 back on a night.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.?
How was that?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
$19.98, 24-pack of Bud Light. What a time to be alive.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.